Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 53 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Dan Conte.
And I'm Arlo Barnett.
I think the Commonwealth would think that if we came up here in 5 days and spent $300,000 to do something to stop or curb this problem, that would be money well spent.
Senate President Robert Stivers wants a special session of the General Assembly. He says that's needed to deal with the heroin epidemic in Kentucky.
There are 11 Round County projects in the state's new road plan.
And an engineering consultant has been retained to examine problems with the Moorhead City swimming pool.
In sports, the Reds blank the Pirates to win their first series of the new season.
Bud Luke has the business news.
It'll be clear and cold tonight, low in the 30s. The complete forecast is coming up, but first, this news.
Senate President Robert Stivers says he'll ask Governor Beshear to call a special session of the Kentucky General Assembly so lawmakers can consider a bill to stiffen penalties for heroin dealers. The Republican from Clay County says abuse of the drug has become epidemic in the Commonwealth. Since January, Stivers says there have been 26 deaths from heroin overdoses in Kenton County alone.
If you start extrapolating that out for the state, how bad is this problem? And no action was taken on the bill by the House. And I think it would be when you think about the loss of life and then compound that with the loss of productivity, the heartache, the pain on individuals in and around northern Kentucky, much less all the state. Yes, I would think it would deserve a special session.
A special session of the state legislature would cost taxpayers about $60,000 a day, but Stivers says it would be worth it.
Kentucky lawmakers worked late into the last night of the 2014 General Assembly session before passing the state's road plan. The plan provides more than $3 billion for road and bridge construction over the next 2 years. Frankfort Senator and former Kentucky Governor Julian Carroll believes the current strategy to divide up road funds is not the best approach.
And they want to produce something good to take home. And so they want an approved road project for the next time that they run. It's beneficial to their election.
Senate President Pro Tem Katie Stein cast the lone opposing vote in the 38-member chamber. She says senators received 40% and House members 60% of available road funds for their districts. Stein says that's not an appropriate breakdown of road resources.
Kentucky's new biennial road plan calls for 11 projects in Rowan County. The biggest ticket item, $13.5 million, is the widening of Kentucky 519 from State Route 801 and extending north for 2 miles. There's also $11 million for a new route from U.S. 60 and Kentucky 32 east of Moorhead to I-64. Nearly $9 million is included in the plan for the reconstruction of Kentucky 32 from Park Hills Drive to Viking Drive North. Two other reconstruction projects are in the budget. U.S. 60 west of Glenwood Hollow Road to east of Kentucky 3296 and Kentucky 377. From State Route 32 to the Lewis County line.
The Greenup County Fiscal Court has committed to a major road improvement project. MSPR's Jordan Simonson has more.
According to the Ashland Independent, the Greenup Fiscal Court has approved a plan to spend $1.5 million to blacktop several county roads that were damaged by bad weather. Greenup Judge Executive Bobby Carpenter says he wanted the court to pass the first reading quickly so that the county road crews could begin the project. During the second reading of the measure next month, a decision will be made on whether the project will be paid for by bonds or a lease. Carpenter will discuss that matter with the county treasurer, Carol Vinson, and report back to the court. Reporting for MSPR, I'm Jordan Simonson.
Judge Executive Jim Nichols says Rowan officials expect to hear soon about the possible impact of Family Dollar's decision to close 370 stores nationwide on the company's distribution center in the county. The center has around 400 employees and supplies Family Dollar stores in 7 states. Since the facility has recently been hiring additional workers, Nichol remains optimistic that the company's store closures may not have that much of an impact.
I think the stores, the retail outlets they're going to close, are just those, what they said, those locations that were not making money, that were not producing well. So, and you corporations do that all the time. But I keep my fingers crossed that things will work out here, and it will not affect our facility we have out in the industrial park.
But Nickel admits that not knowing about the possible impact of Family Dollar's store closings on the distribution center is frustrating, not only for him and other Rowan officials, but especially for the facility's workers.
Morehead Mayor David Perkins says engineers trying to determine what's wrong with the city's public pool won't start their work until the end of the month. Since the pool traditionally opens on Memorial Day weekend, Perkins admits that puts city officials up against a wall in terms of making some important decisions.
It's causing us all kinds of headaches because how do you advertise for staffing when you don't know if you're going to open or not? It's you kind of have to allow for it, and at the same time, you can't expect somebody to sit there and wait if they're looking for summer jobs. Am I going to have a job or not? Most smart people would find something that's a little more solid.
Perkins says engineers aren't certain yet if the crack in the deep end of the pool is the total loss, cause of its water loss. A pipe could also be involved in the situation, or there could be a void underneath the pool. A decision will be made in the next several weeks on the possible delay in this summer's opening of the facility or its possible permanent closure.
A senior center in Floyd County may be closed because the owner of the building does not want to renew a lease agreement. WYMT is reporting that patrons of the Martin Area Senior Center have been told to vacate the facility within 30 days. Walter Dingus is vice chair of the center. He spoke with the Hazard Station.
A lot of these people who live right here are here every day, most of the day. They sit around here and talk. They play games. We got a pool table here. We got television. And they can sit here and socialize. And otherwise, they're going to vegetate.
Dingus says he does not think seniors can find another place in Martin to hold their activities.
The 2014 General Assembly has concluded without coming up with significant funding for Lexington's Rupp Arena project. KPR's Stu Johnson reports that legislators worked right up until the midnight deadline.
Consideration of state support for Rupp took on more than one appearance during this session. The latest proposal called for borrowing more state money and dropping plans for a Lexington hotel-motel tax increase. But in the end, the call for $80 million failed to win legislative support. Lexington Senator Alice Kerr says the project just didn't rank high enough on some lawmakers' lists.
In this time, this economic time of turmoil, people just really wanted to see money going for education and for the concerns of mainly education.
Earlier in the day, House Speaker Greg Stumbaugh indicated he didn't believe funding for Rupp Arena would warrant a special legislative session. For Kentucky Public Radio, I'm Stu Johnson.
According to the Princeton Times leader, a 38-year-old man serving a life prison sentence for killing two people at East Carter High School in 1993 is facing additional charges after a food service worker was assaulted at the Kentucky State Penitentiary. A Department of Corrections spokesman says Gary Pennington has been placed in segregation following an attack on Joanne Smith. She suffered a broken jaw, a fractured eye socket, and lacerations to her head when she was attacked by a prisoner last Saturday. Pennington was a 17-year-old student at East Carter when he shot a teacher and custodian at the school and held a classmate hostage before surrendering. Kentucky State Police are investigating the assault at the Eddyville prison. They plan to present their findings to a Lyon County grand jury.
House Majority Leader Rocky Adkins says the 2014 session of the Kentucky General Assembly was good for education. The Morehead Democrat says that's not just because primary and secondary schools received additional support and teachers were granted a pay raise. He says higher education did pretty well, too.
The capital construction component of the budget, which here at Morehead State University, $50 million for the Adrian Dorn University Center to finish the renovation and remodeling of that. The $30 million to go to new residential halls, new dormitories here on campus and at the university farm is an important investment.
Despite the capital projects, Kentucky's new two-year budget cuts funding for higher education by 1.5%.
Kentucky Senate President Robert Stiver says there could be more residential high schools for gifted students in the Commonwealth if the new academy at Morehead State University is successful. The Manchester Republican says if MSU's Craft Academy works as well as the Gatton School at Western Kentucky, the concept is likely to spread.
The reality is it's coming. The next reality is it has to produce. And I think if you see the results that you have seen out at Bowling Green at Western, that you'll see other individuals wanting to either emulate or have similar types of programs located throughout the state and even in other states.
Morehead's Craft Academy will welcome its inaugural class of 60 students in the fall of 2015.
Kentucky universities with permission to grow industrial hemp are hitting roadblocks to obtain seeds as planting season for the crops nears an end. The federal government gave some universities the go-ahead earlier this year to begin industrial hemp pilot projects. Senator Mitch McConnell, who supported the hemp provision in this year's farm bill, says seed companies are having trouble getting the seeds through customs due to DEA red tape. One option, McConnell says, is to get the seeds from Ukraine.
We're all following Ukraine right now for obvious reasons. The Russians are creating a lot of problems, and we're trying to figure out how we can strengthen our relationship with Ukraine. And one of the ways might be to buy hemp seeds from Ukraine, and that's what the Caudill Company is looking at.
If these pilot schools can get the seeds, they will be used for the research of growth, cultivation, and marketing of industrial hemp.
The mayor of Ashland wants city residents to tell him what they think about a proposal to broadcast city commission meetings on cable TV. Chuck Charles says it's an idea that has some appeal, but it all depends on how much it would cost.
I believe in a lot of the technology that I think we need here in the commission chambers, but I really don't see a total need to put those productions out there. Now, if I had overwhelming people calling me that, you know, we'd like to see that. But I'm holding that until I see how much it costs.
Ashland is currently accepting proposals for the video production of city commission meetings. City manager Benjamin Bitter says it could take up to $20,000 to buy equipment for the productions.
The Lawrence Scioto Solid Waste Management District has set the date for this year's countywide cleanup day. The cleanup is scheduled to start at 9 a.m. on Saturday, May 3rd. District Coordinator Dan Palmer says that the county has been hosting the cleanup since 2007. It depends on help from local organizations and school groups to keep the event going.
We look at this, and every year I'm up there with the trustees, and we see all these roll-offs filled, and we think, if we didn't have these events, where would all this stuff be? So that's why, thank goodness, the townships have joined with me and see the importance of this event, providing an opportunity for the people to dispose of the stuff in the right manner. Because if we didn't do this, you know, where is it all going to be?
Palmer adds that student volunteers are encouraged to redeem the work for community service hours. Last year, the Southern Ohio County managed to collect over 1,000 bags of trash, cleaning up about 89 miles of roadway. Now your weather forecast, including the cities of Grayson and Olive Hill. Tonight we'll see mostly clear skies, cold with lows in the lower 30s. Tomorrow it'll be sunny, not as cool, with highs around 65 degrees. Tomorrow night mostly clear in the evening, then becoming partly cloudy with lows in the upper 30s. Friday we'll see partly sunny skies, highs around 68. Friday night mostly cloudy, lows in the mid 40s. And Saturday through Sunday partly cloudy with highs in the upper 60s. And lows in the upper 30s. It is currently 51 degrees in Ashland, 50 degrees right now in Flemingsburg, 51 in Inez, 53 in Lexington, 50 degrees in Winchester, and 53 degrees here in Morehead.
It is 4:45. You are listening to Mountain Edition on Morehead State Public Radio. On our feature segment this afternoon, as the Morehead State football team prepares for its spring game Saturday, MSPR's Mike Williams takes a look at the 2014 edition of the Eagles.
Preparing for his second season as the head coach of the Morehead State football program, Rob Tenure is excited about his team's development over the offseason, especially from a physical standpoint.
We've worked extremely hard. We've gotten bigger. We've gotten faster. Statistically, that's backed up. I mean, we've put on good weight, we've put on good muscle mass, and we're running really, really well as a football team.
Not only have the Eagles improved their bodies and physical strength, but the team's hard work has carried over into the classroom, something Tenure is proud of.
The makeup of our team is what I'm excited about, and who they are and how they work. We went from a 2.6 GPA to a 2.9 GPA. So we've got young people that are working hard in the classroom and doing things the right way.
Finishing 2013 with a 3-9 overall record, there are a few things in need of improvement, especially on the defensive side of the ball. One good thing about having a young defensive front last season was the Eagles will have a lot of experience coming back this year. However, this team's secondary will feature some new faces. Ultimately, says Tenure, the team's success on defense is simple.
We got to stop the run. We got to defend the run game. And we've got to get to the quarterback a little more in passing situations. And I think what we're going to do is we're going to try and bring a little more pressure and do some things a little differently on defense to help us. I think it'll be a successful approach for us.
Senior defensive back Mike Jackson is one of the few returners from the team's secondary unit. He feels confident about the team's ability to improve on last year's season, especially after a strenuous offseason.
It has helped out a lot with us getting stronger, putting us through the offseason workout. One of the hardest offseasons I had since I've been here. I think we'll be way faster, mentally stronger, and we'll be physically stronger also.
Even though the defensive backfield lacks some experience, Jackson feels like the unit's younger players are athletic enough to overcome the inexperience. Freshman Georgia native Braylon Cook is one of those guys.
We've brought in a freshman safety, Braylon. He's been playing pretty well. He's still learning the playbook, still trying to get everything. And once he gets everything, he'll be fine. He'll be able to. He should be able to get on the field.
While the defense might feature some new players, the offense could feature some new personnel as well. With a handful of young, talented quarterbacks at Tenure's disposal, competitive spring practices could tell the tale about who the starting quarterback will be under center come August.
I think it's going to push all their games to the next level. So, again, this is where the pressure comes into it. You know, it's competition every drill, every day, and may the best man win.
During the first few days of spring practice, players can only wear shorts and helmets. Some coaches see that as a disadvantage. However, Tenure sees it as an opportunity.
As long as that's high tempo and you're getting good reps and everyone's getting involved, all your players are participating, and they're having a chance to learn and grow. So it's really installing what your philosophy is, kind of your bread and butter type of stuff, and really, really concentrating on technique so our players understand big picture. They understand schematics of what we're doing offensively and defensively.
The Eagles will continue spring practices up until April 19th, where the team will participate in the annual spring game scheduled for 5:15 p.m. at Jane Stadium. For Morehead State Public Radio, I'm Mike Williams reporting.
It is 4:48. You are tuned to Mountain Edition on Morehead State Public Radio. All things considered from NPR, coming up at 5 o'clock this afternoon. And the Reds had a big afternoon at home today against the Pirates. Jared Wesley is here to tell us about that and the rest of the sports. He's up right now.
The Redlegs are beginning to hit their stride. Good evening, reporting for Morehead State Public Radio. I'm Jared Wesley. The Cincinnati Reds entered the day with a 5-9 record and still searching for its first winning streak of the season. Earlier this afternoon, Brian Price's ball club did indeed find their second win in 2 days against the Pittsburgh Pirates. Johnny Cueto threw a superb complete game shutout as the Redlegs won 4-0. Now sitting at 6-9 and 4.5 games back in the NL Central Division, Cincy's offense looks to finally be hitting its stride. The ball club has scored a combined 30 runs in its last 4 games versus only 5 runs in the 3 games prior. The Reds will look to continue their hot streak on Friday as they face the Cubs in a 3-game series in Chicago. There were 4 other afternoon matchups today in the majors. The Arizona Diamondbacks are currently trailing the New York Mets. The New York Yankees defeated the Chicago Cubs 3-0. The Orioles took down the Rays 3-0 also. And the Milwaukee Brewers bested the St. Louis Cardinals 5-1.
The Lexington Legends also had a game earlier this afternoon against the Rome Braves. The previously 7-6 Legends fell to a .500 record as the Braves defeated them by a score of 4-3 in 11 innings. The Morehead State Baseball Eagles are at Allen Field today, taking on NAIA member Shawnee State. The game started just a few minutes ago. MSU began the day with a 17-18 overall record. However, the Eagles are 8-1 in one-run games, and Coach Mike McGuire says his team is battle-tested.
You know, I'd like to see us when we got somebody, when we're out in front of somebody, just go ahead and step on their neck and put them away. But sometimes it seems like we got to get it to our comfort level, and that is a tight nail biter. And that's why I've got more gray hairs as the year's gone on. But at the same time, you know, we've been there, done that, and we're not fazed by it. And I think that's a mark of a good club is how well we play in those games.
The Baseball Eagles will start a three-game OVC series with UT Martin tomorrow at 5 p.m. at Allen Field. People were alarmed in Boston yesterday after a man was arrested during the one-year anniversary of the Boston Marathon bombings. Police were informed last night of a suspicious man looking near the finish line hours after the memorial ceremony took place. The man was carrying a rice cooker in a bag and is now expected in court. The bag has since been destroyed for safe measure. ABC's Dan Harris discusses how this went down.
The streets were shut down. The bomb squad was called. They used robots to probe Edson's bag as well as another bag spotted nearby. And then the controlled detonation. In the end, there were no explosives in either bag. Edson is now being charged with disorderly conduct, disturbing the peace, and possession of a hoax device.
The Boston Marathon is set to take place in just 5 days. A quick UK football hitter here, Jalen Whitlow decided this morning that he is going to take his talents away from the University of Kentucky. The speedy quarterback started for the Wildcats for most of last year's season. Head coach Mark Stoops says that Whitlow decided to transfer after he was asked to move to the wide receiver position. Whitlow will finish out his spring semester at UK. It is unknown where he will transfer to. The Morehead State Football Eagles are into the final week of their spring drills. Coach Rob Tenure likes what he's seen from his squad, saying the Eagles have made a lot of progress.
Spring started a little slow for us, you know, a transition from the weight room to the field, but I'm very, very pleased with our consistency on both sides of the football. And we've had a lot of guys that have made major improvement individually. It's made our football team better. But overall, just spring alone, I think consistency in our football team, I'm very, very pleased with.
Tenure hopes that improvement translates to an improvement on last season's 3-9 record. The Eagles closed the books on this spring on Saturday at 5:15 at Jane Stadium with their annual blue-gold scrimmage. Spring practices for the Rowan County football team are underway. Things got started Tuesday for interim head coach Ray Graham and his Vikings. Graham says job one is to find out what roles each of his players fit into best and how to get the most out of the talent Rowan has.
To see how the centers, the long snappers, kickers, holders, you know, how many people you can get interested in all the phases of the game and just use that time as smart as we can to find out who can punt, who can kick, who can throw, who can catch, who should play offense more, defense more, where the linebackers, where the DBs, find out.
In another note, the KHSAA has approved its new realignment map for the 2015 through 2018. Rowan County will remain in Class 4A and will be in a district that will include Ashland Blazer, Johnson Central, East Carter, Greenup County, and Boyd County. John Calipari is the first to admit that being a basketball coach at Kentucky is not an easy job. Speaking on ESPN Radio just days after his team lost the national championship game to Connecticut, Calipari said every year there's a lot of pressure to produce.
What's happening is every year I have a new team. And every year I got to recruit a new team. You don't just have a new team. And then every year we got to put the team together and we got to make it to the Final Four. And they're all new players. So you're on a cycle that's not normal.
Cal's record at UK is 152-37. Finally, tonight, college basketball's spring signing period begins tomorrow, and Morehead State coach Sean Woods is promising his team will make some important additions. Woods wants the Eagles to sign two guys, including an athletic post player. With most of his teams returning next season and three transfers also becoming eligible, Woods knows his roster will be packed. However, after an injury-ravaged 2013-2014 campaign, he says he's learned that you can't have too many players.
Exactly, and that's what happened to us. I mean, we went down to where the last game we can only play probably six guys, maybe seven.
The Basketball Eagles are losing senior frontliners Drew Kelly and Chad Posthumus to graduation. That will do it for sports tonight. Reporting for Morehead State Public Radio, I'm Jared Wesley.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Eagle football will present their 2014 spring football game on Saturday at MSU's Jane Stadium. Tailgating begins at 2 p.m., alumni game at 4 p.m., and the spring game at 5:15 p.m. More information available from the MSU Eagle ticket office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. U.S. stocks climbed for a third session after U.S. industrial production rose more than projected and Yahoo's earnings topped estimates. And also Federal Reserve Chairman Janet Yellen reiterated the central bank would keep up its backing of the economy. And stocks held most of their gains as the Fed Chairman Janet Yellen, in addressing the Economic Club of New York this afternoon, after the release of the Fed's Beige Book, reiterated the fact that the Fed would be there to provide liquidity as needed for the economic or to continue the economic recovery. And the Fed's Beige Book actually found that the U.S. economy bounced back nicely from weather-related declines in recent weeks, with modest or moderate economic activity in eight of the Fed's districts. And with this backdrop, the Dow Jones showing a very strong gain of 162.29 to finish at 16,424.85. The S&P 500 was up 19.33 at 1862.31, and the NASDAQ Composite was up 52.06 at 4,086.23. New York Stock Exchange breadth was 24-6 in favor of winning stocks over losers. In her speech today, Ms. Yellen reiterated her intention to support the recovery even as the labor market improves, with a 6.7% unemployment rate in March still a percentage point higher than the central bank's projection of full employment. Yahoo surged after reporting robust sales at Alibaba Group Holding, the Chinese e-commerce company in which it holds a 24% stake, and Intel gained a day after the chip manufacturer reported a quarterly profit that surpassed Wall Street estimates. Bank of America fell after posting a first-quarter loss as the lender settled claims tied to mortgage bonds. PNC Financial rose after the regional bank reported first-quarter profit that beat expectations. Another report from the Commerce Department had the pace of U.S. home construction bouncing back less than expected last month, with the data coming after a report on Tuesday that showed home builder confidence rising less than projected in April. Also, U.S. manufacturing output rose for a second straight month in March, with factory production up 0.5% and overall industrial production climbing 0.7%, and both of these reports beat expectations. Turning now to individual stocks, it was Ashland Incorporated up $1.94 at $97.58, CSX down 50 cents at $27.79, Marathon Petroleum up $2.20 at $88.78, AK Steel down 8 cents at $6.92, AEP up 18 cents at $52.50, and Windstream was up 15 cents to finish at $8.94. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Now for your weather forecast, including the cities of Owingsville, Mount Sterling, and Moorhead, there is a freeze warning in effect from 1 a.m. to 9 a.m. Thursday. Tonight it'll be mostly clear, cold, with lows in the lower 30s. Tomorrow sunny, not as cool, with highs up around 65. Tomorrow night mostly clear in the evening, then becoming partly cloudy with lows in the upper 30s. Friday partly sunny, highs in the upper 60s. Friday night mostly cloudy, lows in the mid 40s. It's currently 51 in Ashland, 50 in Flemingsburg, 51 right now in Inez, 53 in Lexington, 50 in Winchester, and 53 degrees here on the campus of Morehead State University.
And that brings the curtain down on Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Chuck Moraz, Mike Williams, Tanner Boyd, Shelby Steele, Chase Johnson, Jared Wesley, Jordan Simonson, and Zach Senviski. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY Morehead, and translator W202BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Arlo Barnett and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Dan Conte, Moorhead State Public Radio News. All Things Considered is next. It's 5 o'clock.